Time to begin our service this morning. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 15, 1 Kings 15 verses 9 through 11. Reading from the New American Standard. So in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa began to reign as king of Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Manasseh, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father.
Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. In the month of December, we are going to focus our series on some of the good kings of Judah. This group, I know, knows all of this, that after the death of Solomon, Israel divided into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Israel was composed of the majority of the 10 tribes to the north, and they had a number of different dynasties of kings from various tribes. And in their history, all of their kings led that nation in some form of idolatry. The southern kingdom was known as the kingdom of Judah, primarily because it was composed of the tribe of Judah, which was one of the largest of the tribes, and the tribe of Benjamin, which is one of the smallest of the tribes, and they were adjacent to each other geographically. And some other individuals from the northern tribes who remained loyal to David's family's rule and to the temple, which was located in Jerusalem. So all of the kings of Judah were descendants of David. But many of the kings of Judah were every bit as wicked as the kings of Israel. And so what we're going to focus on this month is four of the kings, of the early kings of Judah, who were commended by Scripture. They were just men, so that means we're going to look at the things they were commended for, but we will also look at their shortcomings and their failings as we do a little character study of each one of these kings that we're going to study about during this series. So we're going to talk today about Asa. Asa was the third king over the southern kingdom of Judah. That would have made him Solomon's grandson, great-grandson, and David's great-great-grandson. He succeeded his father Abijah, and he reigned over, I think I have this up here, except it's not wanting to work. Okay. There we go. He succeeded his father Abijah. He reigned for 41 years, and he is noted in Scripture as being an able administrator, builder, and soldier. So he was a good king from the sense of being a ruler that was effective. In that regard, what we are told about him was that as a soldier, he had an army of over 500,000 men. And if you think about that small geographic area that he would have reigned over, that's a pretty large army for that small of a country. During his reign, he fought two major wars. He defeated Zica of Ethiopia. Ethiopia invaded Judah, and actually Asa's armies defeated him and drove him out. That's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 9 through 15. And he also warred with Baasha, the king of Israel, of the northern tribes, who initiated conflict between the two sister countries. That's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. He also built the cities of Geba and Mizpah that lasted until the destruction of the kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians. And it's recorded that he fortified other cities. And so he built up the defenses of Judah because, quite frankly, during his reign, they were attacked from both the south and the north, and he had to defend them. So in addition to winning those battles, he took action to build the defenses of his country so that they would be prepared to do other battles as well. The scriptures actually say a lot about what Asa did that separated him from his predecessors. The basic thing that he did is that he reversed the downward path of David's previous successors. The downward path that started with Solomon and his many marriages, his marriages to foreign women for the purpose of political alliances that then resulted in the worship of their gods and the building of places of worship for these foreign gods. Solomon's own idolatry and condemnation by God for his unfaithfulness. Solomon's son Rehoboam ruled very unwisely, and as a result, there was the split between the two kingdoms, and Jeroboam took the leadership of the 10 northern tribes. And then Asa's father Abijah, very little said in Scripture about him except that he continued in the sins of his father Rehoboam. And so, and his reign was relatively short. Scripturally, what the evaluation of Asa is that causes us to classify him as one of the good kings, found in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 11. The writer of the king says, Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. And so the linkage from Asa back to David is saying the kings in between David and Asa were not pleasing to God, but Asa was. The writers of Chronicles, which most people think was Ezra, says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 2, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. And so that kind of an evaluation, and you compare that, for instance, when Asa dies, these words being said and recorded about him, compared to his father, who the epitaph is simply, he continued in the sins of his father Rehoboam. Asa is commended by the writers of Scripture. Well, what was there about Asa that really gained this commendation? And it basically had to do with his own faithfulness religiously to God. He removed the idols from Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 3. Now those were the idols that the children of God were worshiping and had adopted themselves. And it goes on to say that he removed the foreign idols and their high places. And those had been present in the nation of Israel since the time of Solomon. And now as they divide, the kingdoms have divided into two kingdoms, they remained in the southern kingdom because both Rehoboam and Abijah tolerated and even engaged in that type of worship. And so Asa takes positive action to destroy those places of worship for those foreign deities that had been corrupting the people of God. It was personal also. He removed his mother as queen mother. And it's unclear whether he had her executed or just took her away from her royal position. But the fact of the matter is, in both 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 15, this is mentioned, and it's mentioned that he did this because his mother was a devoted worshiper of the Asherah, which was a Canaanite fertility goddess, the consort of Baal. And much of Israel was engaged in the worship of Baal and Asherah. And so he did not overlook his mother's role in that. And it says that he removed her as queen mother. Some commentators think, because elsewhere it says he, a passage we'll look at in just a minute, that if you don't worship the true God, you're going to be killed. That he may have executed her, but at the very least, he removed her and her place of influence in his palace. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 12 says that he eliminated the male cult prostitutes from Judah. And of course, homosexuality is condemned in the law of Moses, but was practiced by the idolaters, and to the point that not only did they have female prostitutes as a part of their idol worship, they had male cult prostitutes as a part of their worship. And it specifically says that he removed them, and the reason this would get specific mention is because of the condemnation of homosexuality in the law of Moses. On a positive nature, he restored the implements of the temple. As you might guess, even though Solomon built the temple, as the worship of these foreign gods accelerated, the temple itself was ignored by Rehoboam and Ahijah. And the result of that is some of the things that were necessary for temple worship fell into disrepair. And so what we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 is that he repaired the ones that were repairable and built or bought new ones to replace the ones that were not, so that all of the implements that were needed for temple worship to go on as it was commanded in the law of Moses were again present and available to the priests in the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 8 says he rebuilt the altar that would have stood outside in the temple complex before you entered the sanctuary of the temple itself, so that it was rebuilt and that the sacrifices that according to the law should be offered on that altar could be offered according to the law of Moses. And kind of the overall category is that he led a reformation of the worship of Jehovah. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we're going to read a couple passages out of Chronicles here to kind of verify this. 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 2. Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. We've already read that, but here's the detail. For he removed the foreign altars and the high places and tore down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherim and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. And so, rather as a king leading people away from the worship of God, he asserted as king that they must worship the God that had provided them all that he had provided them. Part of that reformation is described in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Begin reading in verse 10. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign, and they sacrificed to the Lord that day 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. That's the passage that causes many scholars to say that he may have executed his own mother because of her loyalty to Asherah. Moreover, verse 14, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him earnestly, and he led them to find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. So you see, his influence was not just that he commanded it, but he led the spiritual revival, and the writer said that the people committed themselves to renewing the covenant with God with a whole heart. And so He didn't just impose this on them. By his influence, he convinced them that that is what they should do, and the people followed his leadership. And for that, he's called a good king. But as we said in the introduction, doesn't mean that as an individual he was perfect. His reign was generally characterized by his faithfulness to God, like his great-great-grandfather, David. Maybe his great-great-great-grandfather, David. I kind of lost track of greats there. My wife's counting them up now. But David, as we know, had some low points in his life, even though he was a man after God's own heart. Being a good person and a faithful servant of God does not mean that we live our lives without some failure and some down points. And that would definitely be true of Asa. One of the things that's observed about him is that he did not remove the high places of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17. Well, he wasn't the king of Israel, but I think the reference to that comes from the fact that 2 Chronicles 15 tells us that in the war with Baasha, he conquered some cities of Ephraim and they became under his rule. And 2 Corinthians 15 and verse 8 says he removed the idols from Ephraim. So in the cities that he conquered, he got rid of the idols. But high places were generally out in the countryside. They call them high places because they were on the mountains. And so evidently he was not as thorough with removing the high places of the areas of Israel that he conquered as he had been in removing the high places out of Judah itself. And that observation is made. But probably his greatest shortcoming has to do with the war that he had with Baasha, and particularly the treaty that he made with Ben-Hadad, the king of Assyria. I'm going to read two passages here so that we get the reason why God rebuked him for this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to King Asa of Judah. So basically, he tried to cut off the highways and the byways so that people could not enter Judah from the north. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord, the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, sent his commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ajon, Dan, Abelmaim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of this, he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work, because he had to go north to protect himself against Ben-Hadad. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had been building, and with them he fortified Geba and Mizpah. So Asa makes this alliance with Ben-Hadad, who attacks Baasha from the north. That divides Baasha's strength, and Asa is able to relieve Israel of that trouble with Baasha. Now, the point of this is to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14 to get the contrast, because this is when the king of Ethiopia, a big and powerful nation compared to Israel, invades. Because in 2 Chronicles 14, what we're told about Asa is it says that Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against the multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And God answered his prayer, and Asa's army was able to defeat the larger army of Ethiopia and protect the southern borders of Judah, and they won a great battle. And so a number of years later, Asa's kingdom is again threatened, this time by their sister nation to the north, and Asa takes it upon himself to make a treaty with Ben-Hadad and get Ben-Hadad to attack Israel and relieve the pressure. He won, but his method of winning was to depend upon a bigger, stronger army than what the army of Israel had. So the Lord sent the prophet Hanani to him to rebuke him for this. And Hanani basically said to him, you did not need to send to Ben-Hadad. When Ethiopia attacked you, you called upon the Lord and the Lord protected you. Why did you trust Syria rather than trust the Lord? And at this point, Asa puts Hanani in prison. So he's an older man now, whether you want to excuse that or just attribute to it. And so as a result of that, he puts Hanani in prison. And it is also observed at that point in the book of 2 Chronicles, they also oppressed some of his people. And we're not given any details. We're not told whether that's as a result of the battle with Baasha, because some of the people sided with Hanani. All we're told is that at the very end of his reign, Asa became oppressive. And then finally, as he came to the end of his reign, which was a long reign, and he lived a long life, it says he became diseased in his feet. And that's all the Bible says about it. Commentators will say he had the gout. They'll mention several other possible big maladies of your feet. But you know, if your feet are bad, you're pretty miserable, because it's hard to do anything when you can't walk without pain and all that. And so this happened within the last couple years of his life. And the Lord rebuked him in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 12 because rather than praying to the Lord and relying upon the Lord to heal him or take care of him, he trusted in his physicians. So he sought medical help but didn't call upon the Lord. And so there's kind of the indication that maybe at the very end of his life, for whatever reasons, he was not as strong and devoted a follower of the Lord as he was early and through the strength of his life. But that really ends the Bible record of the story of Asa. And so we'll go on next week and look at his son. And I would say that that's also a commendation of Asa, because in this case, his son, Jehoshaphat, is again one of the better kings of God's people. And so he managed to bring a son onto the terrain that also shared those values. And we all know that that's not the easiest thing in the world, to pass that from one generation to the next in the family. It says Brother Bragg has the prayer, and so we'll let him lead that prayer at this time, and then we will go to our Bible class.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day and having spared our lives up to this moment of time. We thank You, O Lord, for the measure of health that You've given each of us, that we can assemble this morning together to encourage one another and to build us up in a most holy faith. We ask, O Lord, that we would be with us as we study from Your word, that we may gain knowledge, that we can share it with those that we come in contact with, that we may be built up each day. We ask, O Lord, that Thou would be with those who are physically unable to be with us this morning, if it be Your will. Restore them to a much-needed state of health, that they may be out and worship with us once again. We ask us now to go with us through the remainder of this service, and forgive us of our sins, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.